on to a reunion of sorts, whether it's high school, college, some other kind. But I don't mean just the average reunion like that, but one you have where you had a really great time. You know, a lot of the reunions we go to are you don't have great times at all your reunions? A lot of reunions we go to are fraught with all kinds of anxieties, aren't they? I mean, we're worried about how everybody's going to judge us and see how we fared since we were geeky kids in high school.
Kevin,
yes.
I have to share this.
Okay.
I went to my nursing school reunion, and during the evening, it was in Southfield, Indiana, we had a tornado. And we all had to go to this little room in the basement, and there was a microphone. And the electric didn't go off, and I had my 15 minutes of fame. And no one was even afraid. And I want you all to know that this year the Colts are going to have a wonderful season.
Oh, she's standing up now. Look out, we're in trouble.
In a new brace.
Oh.
It is Colts blue.
Colts blue.
It's the only Colts blue they've ever made in Texas.
Well, it's good to have you home.
I know.
Well, there are reunions we go to which we're a little bit anxious, you know? We're concerned that people will judge us, you know? Gee, my hair. Either it's mostly gone or it's gotten so gray that the coloring won't quite cover it. You know, or what will I wear? My dimensions sure aren't what they used to be. And my skin, I mean, wrinkles I can't cover, and the effects of gravity just drive me nuts. Am I successful enough to be judged as okay by so-and-so, who was always judging me when I was in school? I don't mean that kind of reunion where you see somebody you knew a long time ago and you got to have the buttons to remind you who they were. After a couple of minutes of reintroduction and the only two stories you remember about that person, you begin to realize pretty quickly that life is taking you both on different paths, and those things that connected you one time no longer exist, really, and you're little more than strangers. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a reunion where you go and you really connect, reconnect. Like a good family reunion. I mean, there are other kinds, I know. But a good family reunion where you go and you tell your story and they tell theirs, and you love it because your stories are their stories, and your history is their history. And apart from every family with a crazy Uncle Mortimer and Aunt Cleo who used to pinch your cheeks anywhere within the 3-mile radius so she could reach you, you love them all even with their quirks because they belong to you. That's the kind of reunion I'm talking about. Well, I want to suggest that we imagine that kind of reunion this morning. A reunion where everybody who had been touched, healed, transformed, forgiven by Jesus is gathered in one room after Easter. Can you picture that room? Telling their stories, who would be there? What would it look like? As we think of the crowd, I can almost see Simon the leper, although the name doesn't mean anything anymore because his skin is now perfect with the glow of full health. You know, and then in another place in the room, there's this woman of regal stature. It takes a while to realize that she's the woman who was bent over double for 18 years until Jesus healed her in the synagogue that day. On the Sabbath. There's a woman who spent 12 years alone, ostracized by the community because she had an issue of bleeding that nobody could cure until she touched the hem of Jesus' robe. Now she's here in the middle of everybody else, no longer alone. There's Peter's mother-in-law over there. She's bustling around in the kitchen. It's hard to imagine looking at her now that she was near death when Jesus touched and healed her. You see a young girl named, who was the daughter of Jairus, talking with a young boy whose funeral Jesus ruined when he resurrected him on the way to the cemetery. They're comparing notes of what it was like those days when he healed them, raised them from the dead. There's Lazarus and his sisters, Martha and Mary, and they're laughing with friends, having a great time, although Martha has to excuse herself every few minutes and go check on details in the kitchen, because some things never change. We recognize Mary Magdalene, who was talking with a man who had been possessed by demons who lived among the tombs. Remember that story? And they're comparing their experiences, how Jesus cast the demons out of both of them. Laughing with others in a group over in a corner is a woman who is caught in adultery, no longer ashamed or afraid of the stones of judgment, standing relaxed in a group. In another corner, there's a woman who met Jesus at the well, and when he offered her his living water to drink, she went and told her family what she had seen, and they were drawn to Jesus by her testimony. They were all there together. They're in one corner showing off their physical strength and capacities were a man who had a withered hand that Jesus touched, and a man who had permanent calloused pads on his elbows and his knees from crawling to and from the pool of Bethsaida for 38 years, hoping to be healed in his waters, only to have Jesus cure him of his crippling condition. He's wearing a rolled-up mat strapped to his back to remind him of that day. There's a large group over in another section of the room, and it looks like they're reading the fine print. And they're having a great time doing it because they were all blind at one time and couldn't see at all. We keep looking around the room, and we see there are more and more and more, but we don't have the time to tell their stories. But each one, each and every one of them was changed by the hand and heart of Jesus. And their lives are testimonies to other people about Jesus. And of course, in that room, there'd be food, wonderful food, everywhere, more than enough. Oh, I'd love to have been to that day, if this thing actually happened. To hear the laughter, to share the tears of joy and understanding, to be lifted up by their stories, and also to be invited to tell my own too. What a marvelous moment that would be. Let me ask you, if you were there, what do you think it would look like? How would you feel? Would you be part of the celebration, right in the middle of it all, listening to their stories? And would you have your own story to tell? Of how Jesus has touched and changed your life. Think about that for a moment. What would your story include? How's life different for you on this far side of Easter? Do you remember what it was like, that moment when your life was changed? What happened? How you're different? What need or brokenness or emptiness Jesus met? Or maybe you're not quite ready yet with a story. Maybe you still have things in your life that keep you from joining the party. Maybe it's guilt or doubt or fear or loneliness or sense of unworthiness. Why would he bother healing me, changing me? I don't merit his attention, let alone his power. Maybe it's continuing pain or illness that drags you down many more ways than just physically. Maybe it's something else. You know, we just celebrated the single most powerful, life-changing, world-changing event throughout history. That Easter celebration where Jesus gave himself for us to be sacrificed for us, taking the guilt of our lives, our sin, our brokenness, our failing, taking it from us, which sets us free from that, placing it upon himself and paying the penalty. And then beyond that, rising from the grave, breaking the power of sin and death in our lives. That single most important moment we have just remembered this last Sunday. If only we'll believe in him and accept the gift he gives us, we live in that joy. Has remembering Easter again this year made this week any different for you? Or have you had a good time last Sunday, and then, of course, Monday comes around? You know, Monday's always Monday. And you get caught up in the things that you do, forgetting what it was like. Well, life was different for those in this imagined party. They were changed. Oh, they were still judged. The world around them hadn't changed. People still labeled them like they used to be, even though Simon is no longer a leper. He was Simon the leper. Even though the man who was born was blinded and lived in the village and got healed, he was always seen as the village blind man. The labels stick, even though there's no truth to them anymore. Many were still unkind and snubbed those who were changed, somehow always being better than a woman or a man who made wrong choices who now lived free. Others even tried to arrest those for telling their stories about Jesus and how Jesus had changed them. Life all around them wasn't sunshine and roses, but they themselves were different. They were changed, healed, forgiven, given a new vision of themselves and of God and his love and a new purpose for which to live. And the world doesn't change around us either. But we are changed and we face our lives with new joy and hope. We are changed, or are we? Are we disappointed that life isn't all we thought it would be on this side of Easter? Did we think it would all be unicorns and lollipops? I don't know, what's your favorite thing? Smooth sailing? Everybody else would be nicer? None of the anxieties we feel about life? Do we expect something more? Are we still in our heart of hearts wrestling with who Jesus is and what he offers us? If that's the case, it's okay. There's no judgment here, I promise you. I've got my own stuff to wrestle with, not to worry about yours. But if we could talk to Jesus on this far side of Easter, what would you need or want from him to be able for you to join the party with your own story? God has forgiven us, given us a new life that no one else can take from us, but we have to accept that gift and choose to believe it and revel in it. That's our part. He offers it. Our part is to take it, to receive it, to live in it, and it's the key to joining the party. Have you ever seen a toddler in a room filled with toys, but the toddler is pouting, just fussing or crying or giving somebody what for, and refusing to enjoy himself? It reminds me of the older brother in the story Jesus told of the prodigal son, where the father has thrown a party for his younger son who returns after spending years away wasting life and money. When he comes home, he throws a party, and the older brother won't come in. Here's his wonderful gift right there, and he won't be a part of it. Or maybe you think of a person who is so driven or practical that they can't, he or she can't enjoy even the most wonderful moment. Just so stiff they can't let go. What these people are missing, what they need is to go to an after Easter party to hear the stories others tell. You see, there's power in stories, and I appreciated so much, Linda, the choices of the songs you picked this morning as far as their content. I've got to confess, I had never heard any of those songs before. So we had this challenge of trying to sing and get the right notes, but the words were spot on. And I appreciated the sharing during seeing Christ in the world around us. And as some of you proved, you have stories to tell that you really weren't quite sure you wanted to get up and tell, but you did. And thank you for your openness and your courage and realizing I wasn't going to quit until somebody else spoke. We don't do those things just to extend the service to fit an hour. We do those because there really is power in story. Because we all have our own lives and we all get caught up in the details, when somebody else can see beyond the details to find something to share, we're made aware. Yeah, I've seen that too, or that's happened to me. And isn't that great? But you know, there's all kinds of reasons that we don't share our stories. Sometimes it's because we're anxious about speaking in public. The microphone scares me. I get that. You know, in surveys it says that the number one fear people register in surveys is a fear of speaking in public. Sometimes we don't tell stories because we think that my story is too insignificant. Others are going to say, well, isn't that cute? Or bless her little heart for sharing that. Or they're going to judge me for the things I say, or if I say it wrong. But you know, and I know that feeling is real, but it's unfounded. You know, there is, in this world today, where everything is relative, and relativism is the standard for how we meet each other and the world and the great truths, they're all relative. One of the few things we can share that others can't refute is our own experience. Because you can't judge mine and I can't judge yours because you didn't have my experience and I didn't have yours. So you can share your story, your experience with authority. But there's a greater problem about in not wanting to share the stories or being able to share the stories, and that's that we get so used to the way things are today, even after Easter, that we forget about what it was like before. People who have been healed from blindness forget they couldn't see. Lepers whose skin are now pure forget about the flesh rotting off their bones. Can you remember how excited you were when you got your first official paycheck? Anybody remember that time? Think back a moment. It may be for a long time ago for some of us. Did you ever get paid? If you got paid, raise your hand. Okay, you're awake. Can you remember that first official paycheck? Even if it was a part-time job in high school. How excited you were. You thought you were just in the money. Sort of like old Scrooge McDuck diving into the pile of money inside his big bank vault. And now that fortune is chump change to the salaries we take for granted. We forget from where we've come. We forget what it was like before we find where we find ourselves now. Or if you find yourself happily in a deep, lasting, meaningful relationship with a significant other, can you remember what life was like to be alone? We often take what we enjoy so for granted, we risk forgetting how our lives were before they've been changed today. The same thing's true of our relationship with God through Christ. We can become so accustomed to how life is different in God's forgiveness and healing and transformation in our lives, in our relationship, that we forget how we lived and felt and struggled before. We forget that somebody else helped us find this new life, helped us grow deeper. We forget that there are so many around us who are searching for something more. They may think it's more money, more success, more comfort. They don't know what it is. They know they want more, but they don't know where to find it. And as we live on this far side of Easter, our lives are filled with joy when we remember how Jesus healed us, transformed us, changed us, filled our empty places. But we have to remember. Friends, Easter is not over just because the candy and the plastic eggs are on sale. Anybody take advantage of those sales this week? Yeah, I see a few hands up. I understand that. But for those whose lives have been changed, for those who've heard this message, for those who've received new life because they've given themselves to Christ, asking Him to forgive our sins and living in this relationship, Easter never ends. And we live in this newness. And we share in the joy of others whose stories are our stories, whose histories are our histories. And we qualify for those kinds of reunions. It's time to remember and to join that reunion on this far side of Easter. I want to leave you this morning with two challenges. I want to say assignments because your rebellious nature wouldn't do them because I assigned it to you. I'm projecting myself. Forgive me. I'm rebellious. Two challenges. I want you to visualize this after Easter party and see as many of those people from the stories of Jesus' ministry that you can. And even try to tell their stories as they might tell them at the party. Try to get inside it a little bit and hear their stories as they tell about what they experienced at the hands and heart of Christ. And the second challenge, not assignment, is to take some time in the quiet moments of your life, whether you can do it in one big chunk or in pieces along the way, and try to write your own story of what you would share in that party that day. Write it down, because if you're like me, you're not going to remember all the details. Write it down and practice it. Practice that story, remembering what Christ did for you, what you needed, what He offered, what He changed, how you were set free, and how it felt and feels. And then this week, this is part two of the second challenge, not a third challenge, just part two of the second challenge. As you get your story written, share it with somebody else. It may be that's what will give them the chance to find their own story. Share it with somebody else and invite them to your after Easter reunion, that they can celebrate too. Jesus lives. I guess I could say, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And because He has risen, we have life now and forever to come. Because he has risen, we have a story to tell. It may not be that your eyes were opened physically. It may not be that your ears were unstopped. It may not be that you were laid lowered down on a mat because you were a quadriplegic. But our brokenness has been healed of our spirits. Our lives have been made whole. Our vision has changed to see ourselves and God and his love in a new way. And that's a story worth telling. Amen.